It's Helping Hand, HBR1 station statewide and online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Fridays is part of All Things Considered and puts a spotlight on an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are welcoming back Hawaii Fido Service Dogs, nonprofit internationally accredited under the ADI, that's the Assistance Dogs International. Hawaii Fido can explain the significance of service dogs coming from the right sources and the distinction between different sorts of support animals. And it's become a big issue in the world, too, even with some legislation that's been occurring that affects folks here in the islands. They can also talk about the way that they train specific dogs to serve people with disabilities other than blindness. We welcome back from this nonprofit program director Susan Lors and the executive director at Hawaii Fido Service Dogs, Jim Kennedy. Welcome back, Susan, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Both the kinds of dogs you offer and the sorts of things that these animals are trained to assist with.
Well, we have focused on Labrador Retrievers and Labradoodles. And the nice thing about the Labradoodles is they're hyperallergenic. As you mentioned, we do provide service dogs to people with disabilities other than blindness. Typically, all of our graduates have some pretty serious muscle control and or balance issues. Our dogs can open doors, turn on lights, pick up dropped objects, retrieve specific objects like go get my medical kit. Some of the larger ones can pull wheelchairs, and we have dogs that are on the really large side that are great for what we call bracing, where the handler can place his or her hands very carefully in the right place in the shoulder and the rear of the dog. Got to do it right or you hurt the dog or yourself. But we train them to do it properly, and they can actually help push themselves out of a chair, out of the bed, or back into a chair safely. So those are some examples of the things that we train them to do. And they have to get used to elevators, escalators, shiny floors, walking backwards in tight spaces. Susan, there are like 80 or 90 different tasks or comfort zones that the dogs have to pass in order to be qualified according to ADI, Assistance Dogs International.
And you guys got reaccredited.
So Hawaii Fido is one of 140 accredited programs throughout the world. And although the ADA doesn't require accreditation, the programs that do this can show that the dog is trained, so we do a lot of documentation. I have paperwork on our pups from 3 days old, ongoing through the life of the dog, so that we can show that there's been training, there's been health testing. The applicants, they have to give certain documentation that they are disabled and what they need to do. They have to take tests. They have to do book work. They have to work with their own dog. And like Jim said, there is about 80 commands, but once the individual gets their dogs, they move on and do more personal training with the dogs. So the accreditation comes from the Assistant Dogs International. They look through every single piece of our paperwork, and they come and they look at our people and our teams. They talk to people. They look at our dogs. But it is prestigious to say we are an accredited service dog program.
In the state, are you aware of how many other people get that accreditation in terms of its unusualness?
There's only one other program on Maui
that has it. So that says a lot about it. So it's something that in the whole state, there's only two programs that have this accreditation at all.
Correct.
Oh, that says a lot.
But it doesn't mean that you can't personally train your dog and do a good job. We share our resources, and I can direct people, tell them how to do it the right way if they have the right dog.
If you can, Jim, speak to the importance of both this legislation that has occurred locally, but also the importance of how it works with this distinction with these animals.
Thank you. We were really pleased and honored to have a chance to meet with a lot of our legislators last year and trying to help educate the difference between emotional support dog and a service dog. Ultimately, it was passed unanimously and became law January 1st. What the law says is that it is against the law to portray a pet as a service dog when it is not. The fine can be anywhere from $100 to $500. It's problematic to enforce it because ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, specifically says you can't require an identification program system around the country. Some people said, you know, what's the big deal? It's not hurting someone. And there are three things. One is it creates confusion with the businesses because there's such a proliferation, growth in the abuse that they don't really know who to trust. you know, is that a service dog or not? The second thing is that because it does cause confusion with businesses, that the handler is subjected to so much more stress level every time they walk into a place they've never been. How am I going to be treated? How am I going to be greeted? And the third thing is our dogs are still dogs. As well-trained as they are, the dogs can be distracted.
By other dogs.
By other dogs, that's right. You get an unruly dog, a smelly dog, a growling, charging, nipping dog. I don't care how well-trained a dog is, it's going to do some distraction. So there are three things. And when we talk to the legislators about this, we said one of the biggest hurdles is we have to educate. And if we just try to tell people, please don't do this, it's not nice, that's one thing. But if it's against the law, right. We're empathetic, though, particularly with regard to people who have emotional support dogs. And the state of Hawaii law that was passed and went into effect January 1 very specifically incorporated the ADA phraseology and reiterated an emotional support dog is not a service dog. So if your listeners know someone is doing this and they have an emotional support dog, let them know we're empathetic, but it really is causing a problem and it is against the law now. And try to find a way to gently suggest, try to rethink this. Maybe they can get their auntie or their tutu or best friend to stop abusing the ADA access laws, or if they weren't doing it intentionally, be aware that they are doing that so they cut back on that.
What are ways that people who are touched by the plight of those who face a disability and just to get around require often a wheelchair or an animal to help them actually get through their day-to-day life? What are the ways that you think those people could most support your mission?
Most important thing is for us to get puppy raisers. You don't have to be a puppy trainer to do that. We have three trainers that work with you every week.
What's involved with this job?
A job description for a puppy raiser? Okay. It's a 24/7, lot of love, lot of patience. It isn't something that somebody who has a full-time job or a student could do. We've tried it. Because we ask that the dogs not be left more than 4 hours.
So no one with a full-time job?
Unless they are allowed to bring the dog to work. We work with them for about 2 years. They love these dogs. They clean up, they train, and then they give them away. That's the hardest part. But by the time they're done with it, they get the idea of falling in love with puppy raising rather than falling in love with puppy, because they do get to see who the dog goes to, and many times they're involved in the handoff and the training. We're run mostly by volunteers. They're our heart and soul. And without these folks, we wouldn't be here.
Those are the main volunteers.
Yeah, we have that board members and always need people to sit on fundraising committee. Jim, you want to talk about some board members?
Yeah, we're always looking for people who have something fresh, new ideas and energy to bring into the board. So if someone has had experience working with dogs, although it's not an absolute requirement, we'd like to have them drop us a line. So there's a lot of work that we can really benefit from if people would be willing to be a puppy raiser. We meet once a week and we have our trainers meet with the puppy raisers, and it's different levels for each dog. We're very thankful for the businesses that support our training activities. A dog in training does not have the legal access rights as one that we've certified as being a service dog. So it's strictly at the gracious businesses that we're able to go in there and these dogs can work their elevators, work their escalators, get on the shiny floor, see crowds of people.
When people do that, that's a service is what you're saying. Is just letting you be able to practice the animals in the store. Well, that's a great, that gives you a lot of different levels of ways you can support these guys. Let me give you their web address where you can learn more. You can make a secure donation online, hawaiifido.org. You can give them a call, 808-638-0200. You can send an email, info@hawaiifido.org. Full interview, the radio feature, get all their contact information, and hear all the other Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org. It's Program Director Susan Lors and Jim Kennedy, the Executive Director, Hawaii Fido Service Dogs, one of only two of these dog training services in the state that's been accredited by the ADI, Assistance Dogs International. Do I have that right?
Yes. Got it.
Thanks for doing what you're doing. It's a humbling mission. I'm appreciative of it.
And thank you for the opportunity to share it with the public.